For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Despite repeated calls for Governor Ralph Northam's resignation, governing still has to go on at the state capitol in Richmond. We'll have an update from events over the weekend. Meanwhile, we have a profile of Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, the man who would become governor should Northam resign. And as of early Monday morning, Northam had not announced his resignation. Also, we visit the big radio telescope just a couple of hours west of Harrisonburg, the Green Bank Observatory, doing some pretty interesting research these days. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, February 4th. Despite repeated calls for Governor Ralph Northam's resignation, governing still has to go on at the state capitol in Richmond. As Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports, leaders in the House and Senate unveiled budget proposals on Sunday.
The House budget increases funding for schools from kindergarten to college. Republican Chris Jones says the goal is to raise salaries for teachers and keep tuition flat.
Financial aid is great, but it doesn't do anything to stem the tide of the increase in cost of attendance.
Both the House and Senate proposals raise funding for rural internet access, improving water quality and school security.
With significant new investments in our Commonwealth and its citizens and our programs, I'm very pleased with the document that will be before the body on Thursday.
But those investments are still a far cry from what the governor has proposed. His budget takes advantage of a tax loophole to increase annual spending by almost $500 million. How much influence the governor will still continue to have on this process, though, remains to be seen. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Charlottesville leaders have added to the calls over the weekend for Democratic Governor Ralph Northam's resignation. The Daily Progress reports local Democrats say they had lost confidence in his ability to lead Virginia and to address ongoing issues of white supremacy and environmental racism. Albemarle County Supervisor Ann H. Malik said on Sunday that she thinks Northam should step down. University of Virginia President Jim Ryan released a statement on Sunday morning suggesting that Northam has lost the ability to effectively lead Virginia and that the racist photo on his yearbook page brought back memories of the violence in Charlottesville on August 12, 2017. And Charlottesville City Councilors Wes Bellamy and Mike Siegner also said Northam should resign. Many statewide Democratic leaders have called for Northam to step down, including Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine and former Governor Terry McAuliffe. Well, the events in Richmond have created a new focus on the lieutenant governor, typically a low-profile job that has suddenly been cast into the spotlight. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the story.
Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax's last name is a window into who he is and how he views the world. His ancestors were slaves owned by the Fairfax family, as in Fairfax County. The lieutenant governor keeps the manumission papers, freeing his great-great-great-grandfather handy because he likes to put them in his coat pocket when he walks off the dais of the Senate rather than preside over a chamber honoring Confederates. That's happened a number of times. Here's Fairfax explaining that decision last year.
I want to be clear that, my children, my grandchildren, will not see me on videotape presiding over a motion honoring people who fought for a set of laws and a society that would have enslaved, members of their family.
A former federal prosecutor who's seen as a rising star of the party, Fairfax became the first head of the newly created Democratic Lieutenant Governors Association last year. Here's the lieutenant governor on election night.
Everywhere I've gone, people have said, thank you, Virginia, for giving us hope. We felt like this country was going to go down a dark political road, but you showed us what was possible, that we could reclaim our democracy and reclaim hope in this nation.
If the governor were to resign, Fairfax would become acting governor. Senate President Pro Temp Steve Newman would preside over the Senate, just like he does when Fairfax steps off the dais to avoid honoring Confederate generals. I'm Michael Pope.
A pregnancy center in Culpeper has been vandalized days after a debate over late-term abortion in the state capitol sparked controversy nationwide. Police said in a statement that the vandalism reported early Friday at the Pregnancy Center of Culpeper included spray-painted messages on the building and signs and a broken window. Images from the scene show the messages include "You Hate Women" and "Fake." The center is one of the pregnancy centers of Central Virginia. The Christian nonprofit's website says it is, quote, dedicated to women and families facing unplanned pregnancy, and it does not perform or refer patients for abortions. President and COO D.J. Carter says the organization has not experienced vandalism before, and he's not sure of the vandals' motivation. The organization is changing its name to Thrive Women's Healthcare. Finally today, 2 hours by car west of Harrisonburg, the Green Bank Observatory is home to the world's largest steerable radio telescope. This facility, owned by the National Science Foundation, might be, well, under the radar, but it's being used for some very forward-thinking projects you might not expect, including a search for extraterrestrial intelligence and involvement in the latest Mars mission. WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini went there and filed this report.
It is not easy getting to Green Bank. To reach this small West Virginia town of only 143 residents, you have to wind through mountain roads for about an hour before seeing any sign of intelligent life. And suddenly, there it is, sitting in the valley, a 500-foot-tall radio telescope, the Green Bank Telescope, or GBT for short. The reason this telescope needs to be out of sight, lodged in the middle of the Allegheny Mountains, is to provide a natural barrier against radio interferences from surrounding cities. The GBT is aiming to catch faint radio waves from as far as 14 million light years away. Sue Ann Heatherly, Senior Education Officer at the Green Bank Observatory, explains how it works.
The dish is a mirror, so imagine that if you're trying to look at stars through a telescope, you're going to point your telescope at a star. That light from the star is going to hit the mirror in your telescope and bounce up and into your eye. So the same thing happens with a radio telescope. The difference is that our mirror is not very shiny, it's white. And if there are objects out there in the universe that emit radio waves, we can see those radio waves by pointing our dish in the right direction.
That is the specificity of the GBT. It is the world's largest steerable radio telescope. That means that this 17 million pound metallic structure can rotate 360 degrees in only 9 minutes, which means it can cover 85% of the sky, while most other radio telescopes are fixed and can't cover as much sky surface. And as sensitive as it is, a simple cell phone could interfere with the signals it is trying to capture. So, besides the mountains, the observatory also benefits from the National Radio Quiet Zone, a 13,000 square mile national preserve for radio astronomy, which covers a part of West Virginia, Virginia, and Maryland, and where cell phone towers are more regulated. But in Green Bank in particular, there is no cell phone reception at all, a fact that tour guide Rebecca Anderson jokes about.
When I went to college, where cell phone service, you know, obviously they're used to it, an icebreaker was always like, what's your name and major and what's an interesting fact about yourself? And I would always say, I live in a place with no cell phone service, and everybody was just shocked.
More than half of the observatory's funding comes from the NSF, with the rest provided by university or private projects. One of those funding streams is for a project called Breakthrough Listen, also known as SETI, as in Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It takes up 20% of the telescope's time looking for signs of alien intelligence.
The whole idea of using a radio telescope to search for signals from other civilizations was launched right here in Green Bank in 1960. Then, you know, over the intervening years, a project would pop up here and there, and SETI research would come back to Green Bank. But this is the first one. This Breakthrough Listen project is the first really well-funded, systematic search where we don't have to worry about the project being canceled.
Recently, Heatherly says, the Green Bank Observatory also partnered with NASA on the InSight Lander project, which is studying the interior of Mars and listening for Mars quakes.
This is a spacecraft that's been traveling toward Mars since May, and it had a very tricky landing sequence, and it was producing a little signal that the GBT could detect. Sometimes we work with NASA on these things. So we had a party, we had a landing party, and it's just really exciting and uplifting to see some of the good that's going on, you know, science-wise.
The GBT's influence is also reflected locally. It's very important to nearby West Virginia University, where the astronomy department has expanded. Andrew Seymour is a staff scientist at the observatory and previously studied at WVU. Last year, he took part in the discovery of mysterious bursts of radio emission called fast radio bursts, FRBs for short. Those are the same kinds of signals detected by a Canadian telescope from another part of space just last month.
When you have a supernova and it explodes, it causes the core to collapse and get compressed. So this is basically the last step it can take before it becomes a black hole.
And when it gets compressed, it spins around like a lighthouse. And every time it spins around, there's a flash of light which the telescope can time very accurately.
These objects are actually being used to help discover gravitational waves. it's what we call its timing, or when we should expect these pulses to arrive, we could be due to the fact that a gravitational wave came through our galaxy.
Because of the big projects going on in this small West Virginia town, local residents don't seem to mind being off the grid for the sake of scientific progress. Donnie Irvin works at Trent's, a nearby general store, and he says he loves being around the observatory.
Oh, I like it. I mean, they do some pretty interesting stuff. I love to read the articles whenever they find something new. Growing up around it, it's just part of the community.
For WMRA News, I'm Marguerite Gallarini.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.